And now back to the morning show.
And we're back. It is the morning show, Monday morning, the 21st of July. I'm Marcia Meekumber, your host here until 10 o'clock this morning. And we have Susan Kirsch back with us. She is the founder and CEO of Catalyst for Local Control, a statewide grassroots network of community leaders, both volunteer and elected, that are dedicated to promoting affordable housing while preserving single-family zoning, the environment, hello, and reliable infrastructure. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Susan.
Good morning, good morning. I like your emphasis on environment.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what we lost recently with the one vote.
Yeah.
One vote did it in. So give us a recap, wherever you would like to start, on what you've got your eye on.
Well, I'd like to start, you know, with that idea of what happened to CEQA and the pretty much elimination of 55 years of people working so hard to be able to protect water and, you know, mineral rights and views and vistas and safety and fire and flood and all of those things. 55 years of effort of doing that. And thanks to our governor, all of that being pretty much thrown out rather than fixing, and knowing most everything has room for fixing, he threw everything out. Yep. And I think it's really important that people pay attention to what his process was for doing that. And the sequence was that on a Friday, he came to the legislators saying he wanted them to take two of the housing bills, housing environmental bills, that had been passing through the Assembly and the Senate, and to change them into trailer bills. So bills, it was, you know, what, Senate bill, I don't know, I've got 607 and 609, which were set to go through their regular committee hearings to have committee deliberation and public comment. Those were scuttled. And they were replaced with trailer bills to go on to the governor's budget. And he used that kind of coercive tactic of saying, if they didn't approve these trailer bills abolishing CEQA in his budget, he wouldn't sign the budget, and then they wouldn't be able to go forward. So that came to the legislators on a Friday. They were expected to decide on Monday, which they did with one vote. They decided to go along with this plan, and it was implemented on Tuesday.
Holy moly.
So when we think about the rate at which change is being forced on Californians against years and years and years of solid protective kind of work for our environment, and this especially opening up the possibility for high-rise housing along our coastal areas, which have had the charm and the beauty and the tourist attraction of California, people loving to come to the little beach cities because they've maintained their quaint neighborhood feeling for surfing or hiking or fishing or what, sand dunes. And instead, what we have now is a pretty much a free pass, not for single family homes, but for high rise development to go up along these coastal cities. It's really a tragedy, both, I mean, maybe especially in terms of the process and the arm twisting that's happening in here in California to be able to make things like this happen. Just huge, huge losses.
Wow. Oh, so now we know how it happened. We roughly know why it happened. What's going to happen next?
Well, I can tell you, on Saturday, there were a group of residents, like over 100 people who gathered, you know, down in San Diego. And they gathered along the beach, let's see, in one of the San Diego areas, where they were there in protest of a couple of things. The specific thing that's catching those neighbors' attention is a project called the Turquoise Tower. And it is a proposal to build a 23-story high-rise skyscraper along the coastal area, just destroying any semblance of, you know, of what, sequential height or density, but right. 23 stories. Jeez. And guess how many of those will be for low-income housing?
Three.
Well, that's a root five. Five for low-income housing.
Crazy.
So I don't have it's 139 units, five. So for all the state and our legislators clamor, it's a housing crisis, it's a crisis, it's an affordability crisis. We are being lied to and misrepresented with what we're getting through our legislature, through the Scott Wiener, Senator Wiener, who bring these bills forward, Buffy Wicks, who's there supporting them, and even the governor then, who is manipulating how decisions are made at the expense of, we the people who are living in the communities. So I'm really, just that they organize this. It's a group called Neighbors for a Better California, headquartered in San Diego. Wow. They did flyers and posters and got media coverage. And I think that's a part of what we need more people to do, to be able to call out the egregious overtake, not of NIMBYs, which, that Fred would like to have people think, oh, it's the NIMBYs. These are the huge, big multinational corporations who are coming in and doing a land grab that is more serious than the gold rush was, and gobbling up rights to and authority to wreck what has been the beauty of California.
Wow, that's huge. Really good. And I'm just trying to understand the math there, because three units out of 5 units out of
139.
Okay, what happened to like 20? I thought it was supposed to be 20% was the state rule.
Part of what they're discovering down there is that some of these density bonuses, a law that was passed a couple of years ago, right, where if a developer added a few units of affordable housing, then they could stack higher. So what they're really fighting down here in San Diego, something that all of us should be paying attention to, is that the developers are able to come in and talk about how they still can't have their projects pencil out unless they can stack one concession after another on top of what were the original provisions. And the real difficulty here is just the way in which communities, having had local control and moving at a pace that everybody could kind of keep up with the changes, were able to look out for projects like this. And they had, their own legal counsel to make sure that they were doing things accurately and legally. Right. Now, with the force of big corporations who are coming in to do the building, with their high-paid lawyers and the support of the state, and including our own attorney general, who has a strike force to try to discover those communities that are objecting to the wishes of the big developers, like it's just really... It's a big, very big challenge.
Wow. That's a tough one to overcome. But it's a perfect example of give them an inch and they take a mile.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. With the power and money so tipping the scales for those people who then can, with the money threatening lawsuits, it's, I'm sorry to think of how much what's happening in California is mirrored by what's happening nationally with, the big, beautiful bill being a big, beautiful benefit to the billionaires. And in California, so many of the pieces of legislation also benefiting the big, beautiful billionaires to the expense, to the increasing environment for being disenfranchised and losing resiliency to be able to fight back. So let me just say, you often do a plug, and I appreciate it very much somewhere in this show about the Monday Night Catalyst call.
Yeah.
And let me just get ahead of you a bit to say tonight, I have a guest, Kathy Indermill, is an instructional design professional who has done amazing work with big Silicon Valley companies. And she's put together a PowerPoint presentation that's called "What Messaging for the Masses, Feeling Like We've Not Done Enough to Wake Up the General Public to Just How Serious Conditions Are for Local Communities Maintaining Character and Financial Stability." So she's going to be doing this talk tonight at 5 o'clock on the Catalyst Call. And all of her work is based on an economist named David Fields, who's out of Utah, who's been doing a lot of writing about how we're missing the point of the economics of what's happening in California and around the country. And that, you know, one of Kathy's first slides, I've got the picture of it here, is it's under the hot title, The Elephant in the Room, saying wages for the working class have not kept up with inflation or qualified as a living wage. You know, they've remained flat for over 30 years, and that it's this terrible neglect of wages and salaries and regulations around tax code and all of those things that are so devastating to what's happening in housing, you know, and also the price of groceries or the prices of anything else.
Yeah, it's absolutely crazy that it's been that bad for so much time. So something we need to draw greater attention to, you know, and I think there's a fair recognition of the problem, just not enough solutions presented, as well as solutions being put in place by those in power, which we know right now is a difficult, a definite challenge to even do that to begin with at all. So I just want to make sure folks know. So if you want to participate on the call for the nonprofit Catalysts for Local Control and hear what the guest Kathy Underhill is going to be talking about, you go to catalystca.org online, or if you can't remember catalystca.org, you can always just Google Susan's name, Susan Kirsch. You could even do like Susan Kirsch Affordable Housing. If you don't see something right away, she's going to pop right up. You register for the call, you get your little Zoom link. Once you've done that, it's all free to do. And it starts today at 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock on Zoom.
There you go. Yeah. There you go. Every Monday, by the way, too.
Every Monday.
So what else did you want to add in?
Well, I want to add in just that there are some really good legislators who are really fighting for, you know, a more balanced approach to housing and the economic conditions that we're in. And one of the bills that will be coming up after the summer recess. Right now, legislators are home in their own communities, senators and assembly members. So really, anyone who has a concern about what's happening in your community or statewide, this is a really good time to look to set up a personal meeting or a Zoom call, because they've got the month. You know, they think they're on vacation, but they should. We hope they'll still take your calls and meetings.
Yes.
And so, you know, to try to set that up. And we'll talk about that a little bit tonight on the Catalyst call too, or at least just some basic steps that you take to do that. But we've had some really courageous actions on the part of, you know, just to say that a bill that's coming up, Senate Bill 79, it's called Affordable Housing or something, Near Transit, or Abundance. It's called Abundance, something, Abundant Housing. But it's another one of the really serious bills. It throws out the door anything that ever was done with housing elements. It preempts what communities poured thousands of hours and probably $1 million into. So the chair and co-chair of both the housing and the assembly committees voted against that. And it had over nearly 100 cities who had submitted letters of opposition to it. It had, you know, opposition coming from, you know, the League of California Cities, right, the County Association, just preservation funds, neighborhood associations. So there's that one. And then I just want to, too, if I've got time, to call out, there's another bill coming up called AB 699. And it's a bill I love here too. It's called the Enhanced Transparency for Local Tax Measures, is the title of the bill. That sounds so good that if you only vote on what you see in your voter's manual and that's what you're seeing, there's a good chance you'll vote yes on it. But the bill is actually a bill that takes away, prohibits cities from having to describe exactly how much a bond measure will cost them over what period of time, so how they would know how much they've been paying. It takes that has been the requirement, like up until now. If this bill passes, school districts, or I mean, really good agencies. We want support for school districts and hospitals and universities. But this bill would take out of the requirement for the description in the voter guide. It would be back, you know, it would be back in that big thick manual. Maybe I'm misusing the word. It would be in the voter guide, that 50-page document, but it wouldn't be on the ballot measure. It would no longer be required to be stated there. So again, you get the name of the bill, enhanced transparency. It's going to be for some school measure or something worthy that we value, but it won't tell you how much it's actually going to cost you over what time period.
That's crazy. That's crazy.
Stuff coming down the pipe.
Stuff to be watching for. And we have the great Susan Kirsch able to fill us in on what we should be watching out for that might be a little bit deceptive in its presentation. Just a little bit. Susan Kirsch, Catalyst for Local Control. Thank you for your time this morning.
Thank you, Marcia.
Yeah.
All right.
Have a good one.
Bye.
Thank you. All right. Bye-bye.